God wants elders in the Lord's church. You know, the Holy Spirit left us an example of that in the first century churches. And we can see that in Acts 14, 23. Acts 14, 23, when they had appointed elders for them in every church, having prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. So we see here that God desires it. All men should aspire to become an elder. All the qualities described in scriptures about an elder are all godly traits. You know, it's a great standard for all men of God to strive for. Let's go to Titus 1:5 and we can review some of those traits. Titus 1:5. For this reason, I left you in Crete, that you would set in order what remains and appoint elders in every city as I directed you. Namely, if any man is above reproach, the husband of one wife, having children who believe, not accused of dissipation or rebellion, for the overseer must be above reproach as God's steward, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not addicted to wine, not pugnacious, not fond of sordid gain, but hospitable, loving what is good, sensible, just, devout, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word which is in accordance with the teaching, so that he will be able to both exhort in sound doctrine and to refute those who contradict. So as we mentioned there, God desires it, as we see in scriptures. It's something that men, that as men we should desire. And wives should encourage this in their husbands. You know, what characteristics of an elder is your husband struggling with? Whatever those are, you should take a proactive approach and to try to build him up in that way. If it's Bible knowledge, then study the Bible together with him to help strengthen his knowledge of the truth. If he's not comfortable speaking in groups, in front of large groups, then work with him to try to overcome that. Encourage him in that way. Encourage him to lead in worship service, to teach Bible classes, to preach. You know, as a wife, you know, you have a great deal of influence of what your husband becomes. So wives, please make it your focus to not only be your husband's biggest supporter, but also his biggest critic. Help him improve in every aspect of his service to our Lord. Let's read Genesis 2. In Genesis 2:18. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable to him." Most men aren't born with those virtues that we described in Titus 1. They have to be developed. They have to be worked on. So I encourage the wives to help your husband do that. It's also the responsibility of the family. The conduct of wives and children, as we know, can disqualify a man from being able to serve in this capacity. And wives and children must live godly lives in order to not disqualify their husband or their father. 1 Timothy 3:11 tells us that there are expectations for an elder's wife. First Timothy 3:11. Women must likewise be dignified, not malicious gossips, but temperate, faithful in all things. Similarly, children must be faithful and godly in order to allow their father to serve in that way. Probably it's the entire household should be focused on this. They should be living godly lives as evidence that the head of the family is able to manage his household. And we can see that is necessary in 1 Timothy 3:4. He must be one who manages his own household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity. And although a congregation cannot disqualify a man from becoming an elder, they do have a great deal of influence and responsibility to the current elders and also potential ones. You know, for different reasons, not all men become elders. But all men do have the responsibility to help encourage it in all those that may. Look at Proverbs 27:17. Proverbs 27:17 reads, "Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." So as a man, it's not just necessarily, I try to do these trades so that I can become in this role, and then if something happens in your life where you're no longer able to do that, that then you just focus on everything else, but don't actually, but as far as the position is concerned, you're not so concerned about it. We see here that as part of being brothers and sisters, part of that is encourage one another. And maybe there's a circumstance in your life that limits you and kind of keeps you away from that. And until that's overcome, if that's possible, you should be looking to help those around you in that way. And then also as a congregation, we should work with these men, as we see an example of that, if that's what the first century churches are doing. Look at Hebrews 10:24. In Hebrews 10:24, it says, "And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and to good deeds." So you can see this is something that it's going to take a whole group effort. It's going to take the effort of, obviously, of the man. It's going to take it of his wife, of his children, of his and also his brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, which Tingsboro man have you started thinking about? Which Tingsboro man here have you identified as somebody that could potentially become an elder? And are you working with that man? If he's married, are you working with his wife? If he's a father, are you encouraging his children to godliness? And also we should encourage and train these qualities in the young men. We should encourage and train the qualities of an elder's wife in our young ladies. And a good example of that is when we see in Titus 2, starting in verse 4. Titus 2, beginning in verse 4. "So that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored." You know, and not only help them in achieving the character traits that we talked about in Titus, in Timothy and Titus, that they're looking at working on achieving those traits early, but that they're watching for it into their potential spouse. And although you know you can't expect younger people to kind of to have all these traits, especially early on by the time they marry, you know, you should be encouraging our young people to be thoughtful of the potential. Do they have the potential to someday become that? And then also the other pieces that do not assume that these men are interested. or that they're working towards that. You know, maybe it's something that you might be in, you know, that you might be thinking about, that you might be working on. But there's a certain, if you're thinking about a certain man that you think might develop into that, there's nothing that you don't know until you approach him. You know, for all we know, that person that you have in mind could already be disqualified. But how do you, you know, do you know them enough to know if that's the case? And if the answer is no, then we have the responsibility to find out. And then also, you know, encourage the work itself. You know, the role of an elder, you know, sometimes can be depicted as one where there's a lot of work, a lot of responsibilities, a lot of sacrifices. You know, and we don't focus so much about the blessings that God has promised, you know, to these men. I mean, it's, you know, imagine if you, you know, if there was a, if you were looking for work and you opened up a, you know, the local newspaper and there was an ad for a job, and you know, it started out saying that you would have to be available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You'd be responsible for people's lives. You wouldn't get paid a dime for it. And that there'd be no room for error, and that you'd have to get it right most of the time. It wouldn't be something that maybe too many people would be falling over to apply for. And that's a lot of, you know, it's very similar to what the role of a shepherd is. You know, they are responsible for the souls of the congregations here, and it's something that never changes. So it's, if they're at home over dinner and something comes up, it's something that they have to stop and take care of. And if they're not constantly working with the biggest issues in the congregation, it just it doesn't seem like it, you know, that it ends. And we have to, you know, think about that as we start, as we consider the work, as we talk about it, that we're careful to not just, you know, kind of focus on that, but focus on the things that that are in the scriptures about that the desire to be an elder, that's a noble, something that's noble, and these men should be considered of double honor. And then what about the blessings that a congregation gets from having elders? You know, it's kind of always strange to me, for me, when I go visit different congregations. You know, I haven't been a Christian for very long, so this has been the only congregation that I've actually been a member of. So when I go and visit other congregations, it's always interesting to me when I see things that are being done differently than the way they're done here. And I remember April and I went to visit another congregation, and I remember something that stood out. It was right at the beginning of worship, they started going through the announcements, and it took a long time. I mean, I think those, you know, I mean, not to kind of belittle it, but it probably took about 15 minutes. And they were, it was all over the place. You know, they were talking about, you know, certain like brother or sister that they hadn't seen in a while. And, you know, they're like, you know, have you seen Susie? And somebody says, oh, no, I haven't seen her. And then, well, yes, I think I've seen her. And then it turns into kind of like a conversation. And they're doing that with other people that they're asking about. And then they're approaching people, you know, asking about who wants to lead singing, like almost like this hasn't been thought about before that point, and just very unorganized and all over the place. And towards the end of it, we left, and I told April that was, you know, very confusing thing for me the whole time there, and that it just, you know, what was it? And then come to find out later, that was a congregation that didn't have elders, and that's obviously, you know, not the most complicated or the most important thing that an elder does, but just little things like that. And that I think sometimes it's easy for me to take for granted, because I've always been a member here, and as long as I've been here, we've always had elders here. And things just operate a lot very smoothly. And, you know, Randy brought up a good point. I think it was a couple weeks ago when we were a little bit behind. You know, there's some of the men that were leading the worship were behind, and then the elders that were here just kind of stepped up and handled it. And a lot of things like that, I think for us, it's sometimes it's easy to take for granted. It's just something to think about. So when we start talking about the blessings that we see in elders, you know, just kind of remember that this goes to both in appreciating the elders that we have and then also encouraging all the good that comes from it to the younger men. And those were some of the verses there. You know, at work, we're constantly evaluating the potential that we have, you know, within our teams. And but, you know, no development plan in the world is going to work unless the person that the employee is interested in that new job. And also, you have to be able to get that person ready. You have to get people ready way before, well before the job's available. You know, we always have to kind of consider the fact that scriptures always talk about elders in the plural form. And we're down to two here in Tingsboro. And if for whatever reason either of the men that we have currently couldn't carry the load, that we would lose them both automatically. And then, you know, while nowhere do we see that it's a requirement, it sure is a great blessing to have them. That we would still be able to assemble, we'd still be able to have worship, we'd still be able to, you know, set up a, you know, Bible studies and be able to study the Bible. So we could make it work, but just because we could make it work doesn't mean that we should plan to, and that we shouldn't have a plan to make sure that we don't have to, that we could avoid that. You know, what applications can we make to our current elders? You know, we currently have two that have chosen to serve in this capacity, and you know, these two men have sacrificed a lot for this congregation, and we should be thankful for that. You know, they've also taken on a tremendous responsibility to help everyone here get to heaven, and you know, we come to them with the most difficult questions, and we come to them with the most complicated personal issues, ones that unfortunately have come about oftentimes by our choice to sin and by our poor decisions. You know, we expect them to, you know, solve our most, you know, complicated issues that we could have between brethren, most complicated questions that we could have on Scripture. We hold them and their family to a very high standard, but often forget to thank them for what they do. So let's be thankful for them. You know, when was the last time you thanked any of the elders for the good work that they've done? For, you know, thank their wives for all the work they've done behind the scenes. And without knowing your personal situation, I feel pretty comfortable saying that it's been too long, and that you should, and that we should, that you should do it again. You know, let's appreciate them. It's understood that they'll have to handle this congregation's most complicated issues, but let's handle the less complicated ones ourselves. Let's endeavor to live godly lives and make wise choices that will not create unnecessary burdens for these men. And as we mentioned before, let's hold them to honor as the Scriptures ask us to do, as is encouraged in 1 Timothy 5:17. I'll read that. 1 Timothy 5:17. The elders who rule well are to be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. So let's honor these men. Let's, you know, be thoughtful with our humor. You know, not only do we, you know, can we run the risk of offending them, but, you know, we could definitely there's a lot of risk of if with visitors and children that might be listening that could misunderstand our humor with disrespect. And let's importantly also let's know that. You know, Christ wanted elders in his church not only to protect his flock, but also to encourage them. You know, make an effort to know these men and grow close to them. Give them the benefit of the doubt. Believe that everything they're doing for us is with our best interest in mind. Look at Proverbs 12:15. Proverbs 12:15 says, "The way a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel." So let's take their advice. Look at, flip over a couple more pages to chapter 19 of Proverbs. 19:20 tells us, "Listen to counsel and accept discipline, that you may be wise the rest of your days." And then let's look at over to Job. Job 12. Job 12:12, "Wisdom is with the aged man, with long life is understanding." Understand that these are men that have not just wisdom, but godly wisdom. And let's take advantage of that. So let's work on being prepared. Let's be prepared not only for this, but also for our Lord's return. You know, our Lord promised He would return to judge the world for their deeds. You know, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. On that day, those who have submitted to Jesus will be granted the prize of heaven." But it will also be a sad day for those that have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus. You know, Jesus brought us a message that He died for our sins so that our debt would be paid. Look at Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1 verse 7 says, "In Him we have redemption, through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace." But our sins are only forgotten if we confess Jesus as God's Son, if we repent of our sinful ways and are baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. You know, have you done that already? If not, this is the most important thing that you have to do, and it's the most important thing that we've talked about tonight. You know, but this is also an opportunity for any Christian that needs to have confessed a public sin or would benefit from the prayers of the congregation here to regain focus on the prize of heaven. Whatever your need is, please come forward as we stand and sing.